So this morning, unusually, the children aren't going out to their groups. You're stuck with us this morning. But in a shameless attempt to win your favour, I've got a little game for you to play while I speak. What I've made is these are little kind of like bingo cards, right? You can come and get one of these in a second. And the idea is when I'm talking, I'm going to say some words, because that's how talking works. And if you can spot the words that I've said, and you can get all of those in a line, so one of those lines, right, and you can cross all of those off because I've said them, any one of those three lines, then if you come and see Jen, who's going to, I think Jen is going to come and sit at the front, Jen will give you a small chocolate egg, right? So just while I'm speaking, you do your best to completely disrupt everything and just come and see Jen as and when. And then if you can find all the words on your little card, then you come and see Jen again, and she will give you a slightly bigger little chocolate egg. So do you understand how this is going to work? So kids, if you want to come on up and grab a bingo... Kids and Amy, if you want to come on up, grab a bingo card and a pen. Parents, if you want to help your kids, that'd be great. And while you're doing that, I'll get myself together. So I'm hoping that if I stick fairly closely to my script this morning, this should work. So we'll see how this goes. Yeah. So let's try to imagine together what this was like, what we're thinking of today, Easter Day, and the events coming up to Easter. Let's just try and put ourselves in the story, I suppose. If you try and put yourself in a story, particularly Bible stories, we are not Jesus in those stories. But if we're imagining ourselves in that story, we're maybe one of the disciples, one of Jesus' followers. So on this imaginary journey, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. It's kind of like, it's not this, but it's kind of like if you're at work, right? Some of you go to work. Some of you go to school, some of you go to college, some of you do different things. Imagine yourselves in those situations. If you're at work, imagine this. Your work, your workplace is not perfect. Can you imagine that? Or your school. Can you imagine your school and your school not being absolutely perfect? I don't know if you can imagine that. If you're at work, there's a new manager coming to take over your department. Your work's a bit of a mess, and this person, everyone knows a bit of the reputation of this person, right? They've got a really good reputation. You think they're not necessarily going to be a pushover, but they've done some good work in the past. You fully expect them to come and sort things out, make things better. Or if you're at school, your school's okay, but it could definitely be better. And there's a new head teacher coming to take over. And everyone seems to be saying that they're going to be really good. They're expecting this head teacher to be really good. It could be any situation. It could be a church that's a bit of a mess. And there's a new church leader coming to help out in that church. So this boss or this head teacher or this church leader or whatever context you're imagining that you're putting yourself into, they start. And you love them. They're brilliant. They're everything that you were hoping for and more. They're kind of weird at times. They're kind of a bit scary at times. But what they're doing just kind of makes sense. They're definitely getting the job done. In fact, beyond your wildest dreams, they're just transforming the place. Transforming it. At the same time, though, you're a massive fan, right? You think they're the best thing that ever happened to your workplace, your school, your church, whatever. But there's some people who don't, and they are making some pretty serious enemies along the way. The problem is they're unafraid to call it out when things are rubbish or unjust or dishonest. And there's people in your school or your workplace or your church or whatever who've been there for a long time, and they've been doing things really quite badly or lazily or not in a just and fair way. And they're not able to get away with it anymore. And this person, who's this boss, this manager, this head teacher, it's almost like they're too good. They're too revolutionary. They're changing too fast for the structure, for the school, for your workplace to handle it. And then it kind of gets worse because it almost seems like they're on a collision course. They're almost pushing for things to get worse. They're almost self-destructing. And what happens, right, is this situation, it comes to a head and they get booted out. And this person that you've put all your hope in and you've been so delighted to see them in place is gone. And you were close. You were in that group of their biggest fans. And it was more than that. It was more than just kind of a teacher, head teacher relationship. They kind of really got you as a person. They understood. It was kind of a friendship. You really loved them. And you were gutted. You were embarrassed. You were shocked. So far, what we've got is pretty much the plot of the Dead Poets Society. If you're of a certain age, it's a brilliant film. Robin Williams. It's a great, great film, and it's along those lines. It's this guy who's turning this structure upside down, and eventually gets booted out for it. He's too good. But here's the thing in our story. It's because they're back. This head teacher, this boss, this church leader, they're back. You don't quite know how it happened, but the decision was overturned. You don't know. That never happens. And it's not like there was an appeal. That's not how it works. And in fact, this person was never going to appeal. They were just kind of ploughing headlong. But somehow, you don't quite know how, they're back, and no one seems to be able to do anything about it. They're just there. And it's not just a rumour. You saw them. You saw them in their office getting on with the job. You passed and they said hi to you. They said they'd explain everything later. They're back. I don't know how good my storytelling is, how much you can picture yourself in this scenario, but what we celebrate today is kind of like this, but it's way, way, way better. Oh, I'm not sure what I just said. Clearly one key word there that did the trick. Because we're in this situation, right? We're in this imaginary situation where it's a workplace or it's a school or it's a church. But what we're talking about today isn't that. It's a nation. It's a nation. And the person promised is the deepest held hope and belief that in that situation you would have had for all of your life. And others in your country have held a hope for this person for hundreds of years. And now, while you're alive, this is coming true. This is coming about. It's all true. It's been this hope of your whole nation for forever. And then suddenly this person turns up and it's real. It's happening. It's not just your school or the company you work for. It's your nation. It's God's own people. And it's not just someone who is turning a business or a school around, but describing a whole new way of living. And it's not just someone who's And it's not someone who was just sacked from their job, but they were literally killed. And so when they were reinstated, when I said they're back, it's not that just they'd come back into their job, but they were literally risen from the dead. So this person that you held all your hopes on was literally killed, and literally returned from the dead. It was genuinely unbelievable, except that you saw the evidence for yourself. Now, we weren't there. I wasn't there. I wasn't one of Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago. That's not my story, and it wasn't the story for you. But what happened back then, we have been drawn into what he achieved. In turning that nation around, turning people's lives around, turning our status with God himself around, this Jesus he's back, he's returned, and because he's returned, right back then, he is alive today. And because of it, we are restored and we are put right and we are promised a great hope in him, which we celebrate week after week after week in this place and churches across the globe. He died, this great hope of that nation, of the world, and he rose from the dead. And because of it, our lives are entirely different forever. This is what we celebrate today. If you're in this room today and you don't know him, if you don't know that goodness, if your life hasn't been transformed by him, I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm not going to do big appeals or anything like that. But I would implore you to find out more about this Jesus. Because benefiting from what he has done is the thing that matters in your life, in this world. And if you're a regular attender here, if you're someone who does know him and is delighting in what he achieved for us, then hopefully you know and can delight in this resurrection day. And we're going to sing and we're going to celebrate that again. So please stand over to James and the band, and I will give you your stand back.